always one more that comes in.
God bless you this morning.
God bless you.
We'll look in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. I want to thank everybody for the prayers. I'm feeling better. Yeah, I don't know if y'all have ever heard the old saying about I went to a fight and the hockey game broke out. I thought it was basketball turned into football and I didn't realize it. I was ill prepared for that. So
what chapter is this?
4 of Hebrews. So yeah, I tried not to. Levi and I were playing basketball, and I tried not to fall on top of him. I ended up jumping over him, and my upper body was out past my feet, and I couldn't keep my balance. So I ended up falling down. Sarah said I should just fell on Levi. He's younger, and he'd recover quicker.
Speaking by a nurse, that's
right. We just thank the Lord for His healing power and all the prayers. Still got a little bit, but every day I go to work, kind of work the soreness out and everything. It's getting better. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." And in this place again, "if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amen. Amen. So, just want to take a little thought from verse 2, but this whole section of scripture here is very good, but I'd written some things down and been looking at some things, and I thought Brother Luis done I called him and told him I thought he done a wonderful job Wednesday night.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
That was probably one of the best that I've ever heard him minister, and I thought it was very timely, and it went along with some of the things that I had looked at, and I had had a little thought in my mind, and one of the things that come to me while Brother Luis was preaching was, you know, Brother Brown said you can't ever help anybody unless you have a burden for them, and you know you have to have a burden, and you know, Brother Luis spent a lot of time talking about the young people and talking to the young people. And one of the things that come to me as I was speaking to a young man, it's been some time back, but the reason I wanted to talk about this morning was I was speaking to a young man, and, you know, this young man had walked in the light that he saw. It was in the message, so don't get that wrong. But, you know, he went to the altar. You know, he gave his heart to God. And, you know, he'd been baptized. But, you know, he'd never come to a place where he was at rest. And the one thing that, when we were talking, was he told me, he said, I could never take communion. And because, one of the things is, because the ministry, and this is another thing that I want to talk about this morning also, but, you know, he had been under such, because of the preaching of the gospel. And, you know, you have to have a balance in things. Because, you know, they had been preached so much that they've been under such condemnation that he said, I'd never take communion because, he said, I'm not going to eat and drink damnation to myself. And I told him, I said, well, if you look at it that way, I said, none of us are perfect. None of us are ever going to reach that place. I said, but it takes the grace of God. But see, that's the thing. If we, as Brother Dale been preaching about, you know, the new birth brings a rest. And, you know, we have to come to that place. And, you know, that's what he talks about. In the scripture, it lays out a place. There's a place of rest to come to that you can rest in that.
Right.
Because you have to have that tie post put down.
Amen.
You have to come to a place where you drive a stake down and say, I know that I know that I know.
Yes.
Because we're never going to be perfect in this life. You know, I mean, if we're looking for sinless perfection, it won't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're always going to have to fight this flesh. But I told him, you know, Brother Brown tells the story, and there's many places, but, you know, he talks about the story about the mule, the old broke down mule. And it was, you know, he was born, but he had a birthright. And, you know, he said it didn't matter how broke down the mule was or what condition the mule was in. He said he had a lamb. And said the priest never looked at the mule to look at his faults and failures. But he looked at that lamb. The priest had to look at the lamb. The lamb had to be perfect. The Bible said the lamb had to be without blemish. And I said, if we look at ourselves, we're always going to find fault. The devil's always going to have... That's all the devil wants you to look at, is look at you.
Right.
But I said, if we come to a place... See, you have to come to a place... And if we spend all our time... And that's what I was trying to share with this young man. You know, if we can spend all our time looking at our faults and failures, and boy, we can get in a rut, and, you know, the devil can beat on us, and we'll never get anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get up.
Yeah.
But, you know, the same word that brings condemnation also brings, because, he talks about living in condemnation. But, you know, one of the things that I told him, I said, well, the Bible says in Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I said, yeah, there is a condemnation, and if we don't live right, and if we don't commit ourselves to God, then yes, there is condemnation. And if we eat and drink unworthily at the Lord's table, then yes, we eat and drink damnation to ourselves. But the Scripture tells us, the Scripture gives us the antidote. He says, but if we're judged of the Lord, then we're chastened of the Lord. See, if we examine ourselves, see that we don't go unworthily. Brother Branham said in the message, Discerning the Body of the Lord, he said, he makes us worthy. We'll never be worthy if it wasn't for him. He makes us worthy to do that. And you know, we see so many young people. And you know, they're in this in this battle. And you know,
right.
Sometimes we forget. Mm-hmm. I've got one that's getting ready to turn 13 this year. Mm-hmm. But you know, it becomes a battle.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, we forget what it was like to be teenagers. Because I see, and you know, it's a little different for boys and a little bit different, you know, for girls. You know, Sarah asks me sometimes, she asked me about Levi because, you know, she didn't grow up, I mean, her brothers are a lot older, so she didn't grow up with teenage boys. And I see Levi and the things he does and the way he acts. It's like, that was me. That's me. It's like, you know, whether you like it or not, they're your children, and they do the same things that you do, whether you like it or not. And you know, we try to stop them from, and guess what? It's just nature. It comes out of this. But you know, he acts certain ways and does certain things, and his mom shakes her head at him and tries to figure out. But you know, they're teenagers, they're kids, and that's the way they act. I was talking about you earlier. Done a good job, Winston.
Thank you, sir.
But sidebar on this, you know, George Washington crossed a certain river. He said Potomac Wednesday nights. It was actually the Delaware. I told Brother Luis on the phone, I said, I don't know if y'all ever heard the story about the news editor. The man called and told about all the mistakes that was found in the newspaper. The editor was unfazed, and he told him, he said, well, you know what? We try to put something in our paper for everybody. And that's what we like to do. So we're glad that you found something in the paper that you enjoy what's found in the fall. So I told him, but you know, we always say things we kind of mess up on. But here in the scripture, you know, it says that there was a promise left to us. You know, Brother Branham says, you know, it's not that there wasn't a promise left to us. He said there was a promise left to us. He said, but the next thing, he said, don't come short of it. Yeah. There was a promise to us in the Word that we come to this rest. Yeah. You know, it's not just coming to the rest. But you know, every divine promise of God in the Scripture is for us.
Yes.
And we can come short of any of those. You know, he said the right mental attitude to any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is we have to look at it the way that God looks at it. Because, you know, all through the Scripture, you know, when he's speaking of the children of Israel and all the things that the children of Israel done, you know, God kept dealing with them. He kept pointing them out and telling them, it's time to go. It's time to go. Let's move on. And you know, they didn't believe. You know, they'd been, when God told Abraham, you know, your descendants, your offspring, they're going to sojourn in a strange land. And they'll be in bondage. But you know, he said, I will come, bring a deliverer, and bring them out. And you know, they had went down in there and they had got into that mindset of being in bondage for so long that, you know, that was their problem, brother. I said, you know, they couldn't get that mindset out. They were in bondage, but when they were brought out, they were still in bondage.
Right.
And didn't realize they were still in bondage.
Right.
And when he brought them out, you know, Brother Ram said it was grace. You know, grace provided them a prophet.
Yes.
And, you know, he said grace was what provided water from a rock.
Yes.
And that rock followed them all the way through.
Right.
The pillar of fire. The cloud by day. You know, the quail, the manna, all the different things that they'd received. And they couldn't see that the grace of God was following them. of all the mistakes they made, of all the disbelief, all the murmurings, all the complainings, you know what? God kept telling them, come on, I've got a place for you. Here they were, when even when they were there, and all of the things that they had to go through. Even when, you know, when they all the murmurings and complainings and the fiery serpents come on and kill them, and, you know, the brazen serpent, God told Moses to raise up the brazen serpent, you know, and said if they'd look on and believe, they'd be healed. Of all the things they saw God do, and even when they got to the promised land, and they were ready to go in. And you know, he sent the spies in to bring back the evidence. And you know, all the things, God, how many times could God prove to them? It was continuous. He was proving exactly what he said. He never broke his covenant with them. They broke their covenant with him. And you know, every single time he would go back and he would prove to them that he was true, that he wanted to bless them, and everything that he had promised them was exactly that way. And when the spies went in and came back, they had the same report that God had told them. Said it's exactly the way God told us. It's exactly the same way. And now we can go in.
Right.
But you know, they were the ones that said they never said that the giants in the land look at us as grasshoppers. The scripture says we are to them as grasshoppers. That was their mindset. Their thought was that they saw themselves that small, that so insignificant, that they couldn't believe that God would take them to that place. But you know, Joshua and Caleb told them, we're more than able. But they did not go in. They could not believe. And you know, the scripture says that there, he said, in Numbers, he tells them, said, and your children that you said would be a prey, that they would be preyed upon, they would be the ones destroyed. He said, they'll be the ones that go in. But he said, your carcasses will rot in the wilderness. He'd spent all that time trying to prove to them that he was real. That exactly what he was trying to give them was right. And you know, there's a song that, I don't know if you, Greater Vision sings, I don't know if y'all know that, with all these many miracles. I don't know if y'all know that song. You know, it talks about all the things that God done. You know, God tries to prove it. And you know, and when we think sometimes in our mind that, you know, God's not going to do this, well, God's done it before. Sometimes we act like God can't heal, or we struggle with our healing sometimes because it's worse than before, or it's long. But you know, if God's done it before, if He's healed us once, then what's stopping us from being healed again?
That's right.
It's the same faith that we had to be healed one time to be the same faith.
Yes.
And if we have a need, we struggle with things in our lives sometimes and we wonder why we can't overcome. Well, you know what? We've overcome things before. It's been the grace of God that's led us this far, that we've overcome with things that we struggle with. And then we find other things and we have unbelief.
Yeah.
We struggle with these things. Why? But He's the one that's proved to us that He's faithful and true and just to us up to this point.
Yeah.
But see, we think, well, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to take place. But you know what? The same one, He knows the end from the beginning. The same one that led you this far will lead you all the way. If He started a good work in you now, then He'll finish that work. He'll continue to do it. Because you know that, you know, growing up, you know, growing up as a child, you know, I never, with my dad, you know, I never had to doubt my dad's word. I never doubted it. Because, you know, if my dad ever promised me anything, he done his dead level best to do it. Now, humanly, we're not able to do everything. But you know what? At least my dad tried. Because, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, if my dad ever said he was going to get a hold of us, if he was going to do something, I can't ever remember a time in my life when he said we had it, that he didn't give it. My dad just didn't make idle words.
Right.
If my dad said he was going to knock us in the middle of next week, he done his dead level best to do that.
Yes.
But you know that. But you know that's the way God is. God don't make idle words. He said his word wouldn't return to him void. It's not going to return back, but it'll go out and it'll do exactly what it's set out to accomplish.
That's right.
But the thing is it's you and I are the ones that have to believe that.
Yes.
We have to be the ones to accept the word.
Right.
Because here in the scripture, it talks about the gospel was preached, the good news was preached to those. All through the scripture, we find that the good news was preached to the people. And the children of Israel, they heard the good news. All through the scripture, they've heard it. The prophets came and preached the word to them. But he said, they did not receive, they did not believe because it was not mixed with faith. And that's the thing. Brother Branham said in the message, communion. He said it takes the body and the blood, which was the Spirit and the Word. He said mixed with faith brings eternal life. See, if you don't take it with faith, it doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter how much the Spirit is here, how much the Word is preached, how much you hear. He said, if you don't take it by faith, it doesn't do you any good.
Right.
And you know, that's what I was trying to share with this young man. You know, it takes faith. We all had to take it by faith. Everything we've ever received from God has come by faith. You know, the thing is We look at our faults and our failures, but you know we have to put that in the sea of forgetfulness too.
Right. Yes.
You know, because if we go before God and we ask for forgiveness, and you know our past is put under the blood, then you know what? God doesn't see that anymore. God doesn't remember that anymore.
Right.
And you know we can stand before it because Brother Rev said. He sees us through the blood. If He sees us through the blood, then we are as perfect as we can be. That's the reason why it says that we should come boldly before the throne of grace.
Right.
See, you know, being a father, I got two boys. And you know, a lot of us are parents in here. I guess everyone is. But you know, the thing is you know, when you have kids, you don't look at what, you know, I understand you got to correct them, you got to make them. But see, the thing is it's the love that you have for them.
Yes.
You know, you don't withhold a good thing from them.
Right.
Jesus said, you know, if your son asked the stone, you know, for bread, would you give him a stone?
Right.
He said, if one asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And he said, no. And he said, well, how much more? He said, you being evil, ask the Heavenly Father, will He not give you? In one place He said He'd give you the Holy Ghost. Will He not give you these things? If you believe. So we put all these things behind us. But see, it's what the devil brings up and what we allow the devil to put before us. That he holds us back.
Yes.
But we can step into something and receive from God. You know, there's many people that are hindered by many things. They're hindered by their past. And you know, they've allowed the devil to hinder them in many different ways.
Right.
And you see these people, and one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, I was reading on Facebook, you know, you can find anything you want to know on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you know, some people ought to not just. The best thing to do is like me, I don't put nothing on there. I might put some pictures on there once in a while. But you know, some people put a lot of thoughts on there. And I hope this is not too bad. But you know, what was the old saying? It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Right.
But you know, some people write, you know, and it's sad. And you know, not being disparaging to anybody or whatever. But you know, people get on there and it's so amazing that the scripture perfectly lays out a fivefold ministry. There's a you know, and that's the what God was going to use to speak to man. He's always used that from the beginning. He's always used man. The scripture says that it was the foolishness of preaching. He would use this. And you know, people are so against the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
And this man, he just said some really bad things about the fivefold ministry. And it was like, listen, whether even if you take what Brother Branham said, Brother Branham was still preaching the gospel, even if you're just going to sit and listen to tapes, you still had to listen to a man.
Right. Right.
And see, the thing is, it's the same Holy Ghost that spoke through Brother Branham that wrote in the scripture that there would be a prophet in our day that would come and speak and speak the word. It's still the same Holy Ghost. It's still the same mind of God that spoke. Then if that's true, then guess what? There's a fivefold ministry made up of apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And you know what? They still have the same mind of God, and they still are under the same Holy Ghost anointing to speak the mind of God.
Yeah.
Now, there might be scarecrows out there, but you know the thing is one of the blessings that we have by receiving the new birth is the power and the spirit of discernment. See, that's one thing Brother Ram said, you know, you need to find you a pastor and get behind him because he's ordained of God to lead you through.
That's right.
But he said, if your pastor doesn't preach the word, if he gets off, if he's contrary to the scripture, he said, you are obligated to leave him.
Yes.
And find somebody else. Now that's the scripture. Whether we like it or not, that, you know, God put that in the Bible, but you can't find any place where he ever took it out. So there is a ministry. And you know, the thing is I can trust, if by showing that I can trust God because I can trust his vessels, the ministry, the instrumentality that he uses.
Right. Yes.
But see, the thing is, it takes the same spirit. That we all have the same spirit, but if we don't get in, and I'm sorry, people can talk about, you know, and I don't want to say anything, but listen, it takes the same Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, but I have a hard time with somebody talking about, you know, having the Holy Ghost and then denying the Word.
Right. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
How does that work? I just have a hard time with that. If you can't accept what the Scripture says, then how does the Word deny the Word?
That's right.
And you know what? It just breaks my heart, really. I mean, it just, you know, it just... something just rises up inside me. But, you know, it's so hard to see these people do this. And it's just, you know, and it's not that you get angry at people. You can't get angry at people.
Right.
You know, there's some people that, you know, sometimes you think, boy, if I just get a hold of them, I guess. But, you know, the one thing you'll find out is, you know, if you get a hold of, you could meet somebody all day long, and the only thing you'll get is tired. You're not going to change them.
Right. Right.
But see, the thing is you know, I'm thankful that I have a pastor.
Amen.
And I thank God I have the pastor that I do.
That's right.
But you know, people, well, you know, they want to shun all that. And then then other ones that I thought was interesting was this man. He's like, well, do the fivefold ministry have to quote Brother Branham all the time? They quote Brother Branham all the time. And I was like, well, what do we do then? I told him, I said, hey, and the thought came to my mind, I thought, you know, what we ought to do is then, if we want to get really talented, and we don't want to use the Brother Brown, the message, we don't quote Brother Brown, hey, let's not quote the Bible either. We'll just preach, and then we don't do nothing. We'll have real skill then.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, do people actually listen, you know, do they actually read what they're putting up, you know, or they, or what they're talking about? Like, how is it that we're not, if, you know, well, I guess Paul shouldn't have done what he did. Paul was the one that was talking of took the Old Testament, was preaching out the Old Testament, showed what the types and everything.
Right.
I mean, there's so many in the Old Testament that Brother Branham said that the prophets that came, they took what was said prior to them, and they were looking back to those prophets. Daniel was there, and he said, you know, I understood by books. He was looking back to what was already written.
That's right.
All the ones that were looking back, Brother Branham. You know, one of the things that a lot of times you'll find Brother Branham, and I think is interesting that in certain messages, you'll notice that Brother Branham goes back to the Old Testament. You know, Paul, when he preached, Paul took the Old Testament and brought it into the New Testament. But lots of times you'll see Brother Branham, he'll go back to the Old Testament, and then he'll bring it right into the New Testament and show you exactly the way Paul was bringing things, and then he'll bring it into our day.
Right.
Tying it all together. But you know, some people say, well, you know, they don't want to quote Brother Branham. That's like, well, what are we quoting? You know, what are we using? I mean, it's not that preaching is not just to get up and just quote Brother Branham or read Brother Branham, you know. But you know, that's the basis of what we believe.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, if we're not going to use the Bible, if we're not going to use the message, then what are we going to use?
Yeah.
We're just going to use our own minds. Well, you know, we all have our own minds. We all have our own opinions. Yeah. Some places you got to have a tie post to put down and show what you believe, and actually from where you believe and start from.
Right. That's right.
But you know, we all have to have that place that we come to. We all have to have a tie post.
Yeah.
And come to our place. And pardon me. But, you know, through the Scripture we find coming to that rest. And, you know, Brother Brown was speaking, this is from the Queen of the South. And Brother Brown was speaking of Jonah. You know, he was talking about Jonah being in a bad, he said he was in critical shape. He said, there's nobody here in this tabernacle that bad off tonight. He was in the belly of a whale. And he said, if he looked this way, it was whale's belly. Everywhere he looked, it was whale's belly. He said, they are lying vanities. He said, once more will I look to your holy temple. He said, for he knew that when Solomon dedicated that temple, when he prayed, he said, Lord, if thy people would be in trouble anywhere and look toward this holy temple and pray, then you hear from heaven. And he believed the prayer of Solomon when he answered. So God made that sick fish turn right around and take Jonah to the landing. Now if Jonah under those circumstances could look to a temple that was built by a man, Solomon, that later backslid, an earthly temple, and a prayer of an ordinary man, and God could do a miracle like that for him, how much more can he do for you and I when we refuse to look at our condition? And once more will I look to the holy temple where Jesus sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, making intercession upon our confession. Amen. How can we look at a symptom? I look at Jesus. Not what this looks like, but what that said. Look at Calvary. Look what a price was paid for. Person come said, I'm too low down, Brother Branham. God never saved me. Don't look how bad you are. Look how good He is. Don't ever look at yourself. Look at Him. He said the priest never did see the one that the sacrifice was made for. You know, and of all the things, you know, that earthly tabernacle that Solomon built, you know, they could turn toward that. But you know how much more perfect is the temple? Yeah. The sacrifice that was made for us. How perfect it is. You know, that we can turn to it and not look at our symptoms. But we can look to Him,
yes,
and receive what we have need of, because He's there to receive, you know, for us to receive what we have need of.
Right.
That's right.
But the thing is do we allow Him to have access? Brother Brandon was speaking here. He was speaking of the lamb and the dove. He said, you know, the dove wants to come, and the dove is to be the one that leads. He said, but if you try to go your own way, if you try to do your own thing, he said, the dove departs. But he said, the dove comes and stays if you allow him to lead. If you don't try to go your own way. If you allow him to do the leading, then he can lead you and guide you where you need to be, where you ought to be. And so if he's there, if we will allow him to do what he wants to do for us, if we get out of the way.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, we hear a lot of ministers, and even I've said it, you know, there's a gift in your life, but the gift is to get out of the way.
Right.
And let God speak.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's also the same way in receiving. It's us to get out of the way so God can speak to us. You know, Brother Brandon was talking of in the message, door and doors, and door to the heart. And, you know, he talks about inviting somebody in. You know, if you open the door and you invite somebody in, you know, Brother Brandon refers to it, and he says, you know, if you invited me into your house, you know, he said, you know, I won't kick my shoes off, get in the refrigerator, get me something to eat. You know, have a seat, drink a soft drink or whatever, you know, and make myself at home. And you know, and just have freedom.
Right.
Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit can't do anything if we don't allow Him that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Brown said, you know, how many people would be welcome to your house if, you know, you just tell, you can come in the house, but stand right next to, you got to stand right here by the front door. Don't move from this spot right here. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, if you had somebody come in, they just stood right beside your front door, and they never went anywhere else, they just stood right there. And you know, they start moving around. Stay right there. Don't move. But if we don't allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to move and do what needs to be done. And sometimes, you know, maybe sometimes in our lives we don't realize that we have things that's in our lives that become a problem. You know, sometimes it takes, as Brother Luis was speaking Wednesday night about praying. You know, we want to do the talking when we pray, but prayer, having a prayer life, is really having communion. It's, you know, it's not having a time where you have somebody do all the talking, you know, and there's people, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but my mom, when I call and talk to my mom, she's really good about asking a question, but you don't get time to answer the question because she'll ask the question and she'll keep on talking. And then she'll ask you the question again. Well, if you don't ever give somebody the chance to answer, it's kind of hard to hear. And then she's like, she asked the question again. It's like, well, if you don't pause, it's kind of hard for me to get in there to answer the question. And sometimes, when we talk to God, I may get in trouble for that because that's on tape now. That's all right. I've been in trouble before. But, we won't talk to God. But if we don't pause to let God talk to us, then how do we know what God's trying to say to us?
That's right.
You know, it was kind of funny. Wednesday night, I had to work late, so we didn't get to make church. But we were at the house, and we were watching the service. And there were things that Brother Luis was saying, and it was so funny because we were pointing at each other. Me and Sarah and the boys were all sitting there walking. And he would say certain things, and we were like... But, sometimes when we hear those things, it's not us pointing the fingers over us. That's for you, right? No.
Yeah.
It's for us.
That's right.
Because, that's God speaking to us.
Amen.
Do we allow Him that time? Sometimes, like Brother Weeks was saying, for a lot of people, the song was written, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's like, well, maybe if we add up all the time in the week, we might reach an hour. It might take 2 weeks. I don't know. But, if we won't speak to God, then it takes communion, not just praying. Because lots of times people think praying is just we're speaking to God. Well, then, the problem is you got to wait for a response.
Right.
You got to wait for Him to talk back to you. In the meantime, sometimes it's best to just go and just sit there and not say things or think things, but just, ask the Lord what is it that He wants us to say. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, Brother Dale says that, sometimes when God wakes you up in the middle of the night, He wants to talk to you. Well, sometimes in the middle of the night, when I wake up, sometimes that's what I do. I just sit there, Lord, do you wake me up because you want to talk to me? And I sit there. And there's been times when I've been there and I'm just laying in bed awake. And it's like, Lord, do you want to speak to me? And there's been times when people have come on my mind to pray for. And I start praying for them. And then sometime in the future, within a week or whatever, sometimes you'll hear about that person and they have a need. And then, you realize that God was speaking to you because you were to pray for that person because they have a need. And sometimes I go, sometimes we fail to realize it, and I've had the opportunity. I go through things in my life, and you get down, you get beat up, you get despondent, whatever. And the thought has come to my mind, people are praying for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've got people interceding for me. Even sometimes you feel like you can't intercede for yourself. But there's people out there that pray for you, that love you. And it's really good. I thank God when somebody sends you a text message or whatever and lets you know, hey, been thinking about you, been praying for you, hope everything's going good. Or when you're sick and they find out that you're sick or whatever, people call and let you know that they're praying for you. And sometimes, we don't realize how blessed we are.
Right.
We miss out because we allow the devil to block us and hinder us. But we're overcomers.
That's right.
So, God bless you this morning.
Would you read the first 5 verses? That's my scripture that
I... Oh, this Psalms 37 verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you. God bless you.